Father, I want to thank all of you for keeping us in prayer for our very quick trip to Ukraine and also delivering the packages that many of you were part of putting together for the children. We'll have more to report to you later and some pictures and just a whole bunch of thank yous, or in the Russian phrase, spasibo, bavshoy. So thank you so much. We had a great trip. And the traveling was really awesome. The Lord gave us the really empty seats next to you. If you ever flown international, you know how precious that is, just to have a free seat next to you. Instead of being a ham sandwich, you know, you feel like somebody in a nice hotel or something like that. Let's pray together as we look to the Lord for his word. Father, we thank you so much for all that you do in our lives. Thank you so much that we can come and worship you on this September Sunday, as seems a new season is beginning. Lord, would you allow us to be encouraged by you and to see the possibilities and the wonders that you have prepared for us. And Lord, as well, today I want to ask that if there are people in this room that do not know you, that your word will speak to their hearts, and that before the day ends, and that their destiny in eternity will be drastically and completely changed. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 1989, some of you may remember this, two brothers, Lyle and Eric, came home in a Beverly Hills house in California, and their parents were sitting in a den. Mom was sleeping, actually. And they came home, and they had with them shotguns. They went into the den, killed their father with a shot right behind his head. Mother woke up, tried to run. They shot her and shot her and shot her until they could not even recognize the body anymore. And afterwards, as you guys might remember, it's a sensational murder thing. They didn't think it was them, and they said it was some kind of gang warfare or something. But after they spent almost $1 million in the next few months, their parents' fortune, the police suspected, and eventually they confessed. There were trials, three of them actually, and the defense for why the two brothers killed their parents so heinously and which would justify their action was that they were sexually and psychologically abused. Well, ultimately, the trial ended, and they were declared guilty, and they are in jail today with no possibility of parole. See, we like to justify things, right? That word is kind of interesting, isn't it? We justify a lot of things. We justify things that are legal like that. Why did such and such do this? Well, he was poor. That's why he robbed a store. Why didn't such and such do this? Well, because he was raised by abusive people. Why did, you know, the on and on. And you say, wow, yeah, some of the justifications are right. Well, some of them may not be. Today, we want to talk about this word. And today, we want to understand what God is saying to us. See, today, a lot of people are looking at faith and religion and all that, and they just want to say, why shouldn't we go to heaven? Whatever heaven you believe in, whether it's a nirvana or a Muslim heaven or whatever it is, why shouldn't we? So we begin to put in justifying reasons and rationale. I was a good man. I wasn't perfect, but I did a lot more good things than bad things. That justifies. The good outweighed the bad. We have other things. Well, because I was in this particular situation, that should benefit me to go to heaven. Or maybe I've did some awesome things. I was such a giver of my money. And we just go on and on. Now, as we went to Romans, you understand that the religions of this world, everything that man thinks about is how we can work our way into heaven. So the justifications always work. But hopefully by now, if you've been here for the last few months, you will know that there is nothing that we can do to make ourselves righteous. There's nothing that we can do to get there. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So short, we're not even close to it. There's no hope. It was just up to us. So how then can we be justified? How then can we be declared that we are good enough to go to heaven? How do we have this righteousness? Now, we've been going through it. Again and again and again, the Apostle Paul pounds this in. The righteousness that we have is never good enough. There's not enough righteousness in us to get ourselves before the Almighty God, because God demands perfection. His righteousness is all that matters. It is necessary. And without his righteousness, we cannot be justified. And so that's how we are justified. Justification, you know, when I was young, sometimes, you know, that word is kind of convoluted in some way in our minds. We don't know what it means. And we make it shorter by saying, just as if we have not sinned, right? Justification, just as if we had not sinned. It's not quite like that, but if that helps you to remember and think about it, that would be helpful. Because the only way that we can be justified before the Almighty God is if our lives are sinless. That's it. Now, how can it be? How can it be? So before I get to my points, I want you to understand this thing. This is the formula that God has given to us. If you are sitting in this room and you have never done this, and you never experienced this, I want you to understand, just coming to CBC, if you've come here for 70 years of your life, or 7 years of your life, 7 minutes of your life, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make you righteous. You are not justified. The only way a person can be justified before God and God declares you not guilty is if you believe. That is the phrase. If you believe, God justifies. And you say, what does that mean? If you believe. Well, if you believe in the promises of God, and when we get there, I can't wait to get there, but when we get there to Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you got that? You will be saved. That is the formula. The formula is not that it's a guarantee. I know there's some in the Christian community that think that you don't have to do anything. God has chosen you and you are it. No, you have to do something. It says, if I have to believe. Now, I can't work my way toward it because there's nothing I can do to make it happen. The only thing is I must believe it. I must accept it. So if you believe that this is the God who makes something out of nothing, if you believe that this is a God that can raise the dead and it's proven in Jesus Christ, if you believe that, you say, Lord, I want you to become my Lord, my Savior. I believe that you are the Son of God. You died on the cross of Calvary for me. You know, if I believe that, this is it. This is what faith is about. If I believe that in my heart and confess it with my mouth, I am saved because God justifies. You say, wait a minute, it can't be that simple. Life can't be that simple. There has to be more than that. We have to do something. We have to come to church for 2 years. We have to be baptized. We have to do this and that. We like to think that because this is how we think. But this is not God. God said, you have to believe. And it's important that we believe in God's word and God's promises. That's really important. Because a lot of people would like to say, well, okay, I believe too. But can I make some adjustments? Can I just say that, you know, God said this, but can I add this or can I subtract this? We like to do that. You can't do that. You have to believe God's promises. You have to believe God's word. Now he goes back to Abraham. We're still talking about Abraham because Abraham is someone that did it. This is what Abraham did. He believed in God's promises. And because of that, the righteousness of God was imputed upon him or credited to him, and he was declared justified before the Almighty God. Now, Abraham himself, you remember, going back there, when God talked to him and spoke to him about these things, he didn't see all the things that came out. Eventually, he saw one son, Isaac. But God promised him that there'll be many nations. He didn't see that, you know. That didn't happen in his lifetime here. But he believed God because God said it. Because God said it, he believed it. And because he believed it, God gave him, imputed his righteousness upon Abraham. Just like us. Many of you have done what I did in 1970 when I gave my life to Jesus Christ. When I believed this word, I believed that he was my Savior. But you know what? I haven't gone to heaven yet. I don't know if it's real, right? I can't experience it. I know it's real, but I haven't experienced it yet. But yet, I believe it. That's exactly what happened to Abraham. So this is what you and I need to do. If you haven't done this, right, by the time I finish this message, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do so. Did you come to the Lord and you say, I believe in your promises. I believe that you came, Lord Jesus, to die on the cross of Calvary for me. I believe that you saved me if I will believe you. I believe that your righteousness will be given to me if I believe it. If you've never done that, do that, and the word says this, you will be saved. You are justified before the Almighty God. Now, as we go through the scripture here, first of all, it says the deliverance had to be done. Verse 25, he who was delivered over because of our transgression. So why all this stuff going on? Why is this so important? You need to understand that you and I cannot come before the throne of grace. You know, the old saying, you come, get to heaven and the pearly gates are there and you knock on the door and Peter opens it and asks you, why should I let you in? What are we going to say? Because I've never sinned in my life. I'm a perfect human being. Now, that's not really what's going to happen. But what is our rationale? We are sinners. We know we're sinners. We know we've done things. Some of us done worse things than others. But nevertheless, we're all the same. We're all sinners. And the only difference is whether we've been saved by grace, whether we have believed in the Lord, whether the righteousness of God is given to us. But we're sinners. But God cannot just give us his righteousness, because sin has to be punished. There are consequences to the actions that you and I do. This morning, if for some reason you're real frustrated and you got angry at somebody, or even in your thought about something, that is sin. And that sin has to be punished. That sin has to be paid for. Who's going to do it? So that's why Jesus had to be delivered for what? For my transgression. He was delivered over because of my sin. He suffered on the cross of Calvary because I did those things, because I thought those things, because I looked at those things, because I touched those things. It's because of me. So it had to be done. And so when we think about the righteousness that God gives to us, it is not cheap. We talked about that already before. But verse 25 is very clear. He, Jesus, who was delivered over because of our transgression, it had to be done. And anybody else says, you know, I don't need to be Jesus. I don't need to be a Christian. I can follow any other way. All the other religion, every other method, it doesn't work. There is only one way. He had to be delivered for our transgressions. Do you believe that? You believe that? You have to believe that. This is God's word. This is God's promises. If you want to be justified before the Almighty God, this is something that you have to, has to sink into your souls. I don't know if it's ever happened to you before. It's happened to me. There were times in my life, in my Christian experience, that thought that Jesus had to die on Calvary. He suffered all those things because of me. It just brought me to tears. I just cannot imagine that I did that to him. But I did. Had to be done. Then it goes on, and this is the great thing. The justification was proven effective. I love this verse. I remember when I was a teenager, my pastor, Pastor Lee, he said this to me, and he loved it. He loved that last verse. And the last verse, it was raised because of our justification. You say, wow, you know what? The Hindus believe this, the Buddhists believe this, and so on. But none of it was proven that it's able to. They weren't able to do it. The justification that these other religions claim, there was no clarity on it. There's no proof in it. But you see, Jesus did that according to the Word of God. And then after 3 days in the tomb, he was risen. He was raised. And that proved that the justification, the declaration now, that's what the justification is. The declaration that you and I are now righteous before God, that proved that it was effective. If there was no resurrection, it's just an idea. If there was no resurrection, it's just a man who thought he could save the world. If there was no resurrection, then nothing mattered at all. This Christianity stuff is garbage. Just another religious fad somewhere. But the resurrection proved that Jesus Christ was able to take our sins upon him. That God is going to put his righteousness on us. And you say, how can you be so sure? Because Jesus rose from the dead. They haven't found his body. We know the testimonies of the people. We know that justification was proven by the resurrection. And that's awesome. No matter what the world tells you, no matter what they do to you, and so far they haven't done a whole lot to us, most of us, but one day maybe they will, and they certainly have done it to our brothers and sisters in the past. No matter what they do to you, they can't take that away. They can't take away the fact that we have been justified. And you say, how do you know? Because Jesus is alive. That's how we know. The last thing I want to share with you, this is important. It goes back to the beginning of that passage we read. Verse 22, it says, therefore it was credited to him as righteousness. Okay, Abraham believed God. He didn't know all those things in the future. How could he, right? But he believed what God said. He just believed it. He believed it to the point where God told him to take that knife and plunge it into his son Isaac. He still believed it because he knew that God said he was going to be a father of many nations. It doesn't matter if he had to kill Isaac. Because God can raise the dead. God can bring something out of nothing. He believed in God. And because of his faith, that righteousness was put upon him. And he was justified. And it goes on here, it says, now not for his sake only was it written that it was credited. In other words, what was done for Abraham was not just for Abraham. Sometimes the Jewish people, you know, they think of the heroes, and we do too now, heroes, and we think about how wonderful they are, how special they are, and so forth. But Abraham was just the first in this sequence. But it wasn't just for him. The righteousness was just, not just for him. It was for us also. But for our sake, to whom it will be credited as those who believe in him. If we believe, going right back, simple message today, if we believe that God made those promises, that he raised Jesus from the dead. That we can be saved if we believe in him. Then you know what? It's for us too. So it is not just for that. The experience is shared from Abraham on. Now why do I want to bring that up? Well, scriptures, that's why. But more than that, let me tell you guys something. When you and I believe in Jesus Christ, those of you that know the Lord, it's not just for us, you know. It is not just for us. I think sometimes we think, well, my faith is so private. And in fact, the world doesn't want me to tell them anyway. It's a, you know, you don't want to talk about religions. You don't want to talk about politics, right, in a family table or friends and gathering. You know what? Don't talk about politics. But talk about religion. Talk about your faith. That's what it's about. It is to be shared. It is to be experienced. When you hear it, you heard it, and you believe it, and you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Afterwards, you need to tell it. I always thought, you know, and I believe that. There's no reason for the Lord to leave us here. It's not so that we can have a wonderful family. We're going to have a wonderful career. It's not so we can have a great church, a community center where Christians of like faith, you know, people of same ethnicity or beliefs and political viewpoint gather together. That's not what church is for. We are here because we have an experience that must be and can be shared. Abraham's point was not so that Abraham can be saved all by himself. It isn't even so that just the Jewish nation could be saved all by themselves. It is so that the world can be ministered to. They can understand it. They can hear it. They can experience it. And so far, it has happened exactly as God has planned. And people all over this world have come to know him. Churches are planted everywhere. And so for us, this is the main thing. The experience that we have in the believing the Almighty God, that he can raise the dead, they can bring something out of nothing, that he has a great and awesome life for every one of us if we will believe his righteousness placed upon us and we are justified, declared not guilty before the Almighty God. That experience needs to be shared. I want to tell you some of my most exciting moments in my life. And I'm not an evangelist. There are evangelists that can, boy, they just come in and people just give their lives to the Lord. They have just that giftedness. I'm not that. And I've gone to churches and conferences and preached in evangelistic crusades, and I'm not that successful. Successful in the sense of many, many hundreds, you know. But I've seen people. They have come. I've done it personally, and I have shared with young and old the gospel. And I can tell you this. It is the most exciting moment of my life every single time. When somebody gives his life to Jesus Christ, and somebody says, you know what, Pastor, I want to ask Jesus to be my Savior. I said, can you pray for me now? Those are some of the best experiences of my life. Why? Because I know that what has happened in their lives has been transformed and changed for eternity. And it's so simple. It's simply this. This is what God has promised. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? That God loves you and has a wonderful plan for you? That God has created you for great and awesome things? That God has an eternity waiting for you? But you're a sinner. You can't have any of that unless you believe in Jesus. Unless you believe that God wants you to be saved. Unless you believe that God can raise the dead, and he has in Jesus Christ, and he died for your sins. Unless you believe those things and say, God, I want that. I confess you as my Lord. I believe in my heart that you have been raised from the dead. I believe those things. And you know what? When they do that, in the simpleness of a few minutes, a one-minute prayer, whatever it is, and we open our eyes afterwards, and I can see in the eyes of these folks a transformation that is just eternal. I can't ask for anything better as an experience. The Almighty God wants that for you. I know most of you, probably I'm sure, already done that. You know what I mean. But maybe some of you here, you haven't. Maybe. And probably. Maybe you've been coming to church for a long time, but you never done that. I pray with enough old people to receive Jesus to know that's the case for many. Maybe you just came in today, first time. You never heard a message at all. But you know that God loves you, and he wants this for you. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to join me in prayer. And I'm going to ask that if you want to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you believe that God has this in mind for you, say, Lord, I want your righteousness. Because I'm ugly. I'm sinful. I got things that I can't make it. But God wants you to know that he can make you righteous. And he can justify you and declare you not guilty. Simply if you will believe and confess that he's your Lord. And believe that he's raised from the dead. Join me in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. I know it's a simple message. But the gospel is a simple message. Oh Lord, we are sinners through and through. We tried every which way to figure it out. We even want to change the understanding of sin so that we don't sin. But we know. Father, today we thank you, and I want to thank you personally so much that you saved me, that you saved us, that you gave your righteousness, Lord God, and imputed upon our lives, and you credited your righteousness to us because we believed you. We believe that you've done that, you can do that because you raised Jesus from the dead. We believe that because you sent him here to die for our sins. We believe that you have justified us. And we love you so much for it. Lord God, I want to pray right now. Perhaps there are some here that have not done so. They have not believed. But today they want to. They want to believe. They believe that you have done this for them. Oh, Lord God, I pray right now that you minister in their hearts, that today will be the day of salvation. With every eye closed and heads bowed, I am going to ask that if you want to believe God for his promises in your life, that he loves you, he wants to save you, you say, Lord Jesus, would you be my Lord and Savior? I believe in you. I believe that you have raised from the dead. If you've never done that, you want to do that today, I'm just going to ask that you pray that prayer with me right now. And then afterwards, I'm just going to ask that you raise your hand, just declaring it to the Lord. Lord Jesus, please become my Savior today. Would you forgive my sins? Would you become my Lord and my Savior? I believe in you. I believe God has raised you from the dead. I believe in you, Lord. If this is the first time you've done it, would you just raise your hand? Just raise your hand, wherever you are. Heads bowed. Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for your salvation message. Thank you, Lord, that we are justified. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to be able to be confident that no matter what happens, that we have your righteousness. Lord Jesus, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper in a moment, we want to thank you for the sacrifice and the sufferings that you did for us because you loved us. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.